With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to a brand new episode and a very special episode of the Dan Wootton Interview, where each week I'll be bringing you some of the biggest names from around the world straight to your headphones. And this week we are going all out Greece, heading back to 1978 in Rydell High as we celebrate the 40th anniversary of that iconic movie, my favourite of all time. So break out the brew cream, dust off your T-birds or pink lady jackets, and grab the nearest hairbrush, because this week's episode is gonna be a bit of a sing-along. I'm gonna be speaking to one of the pink ladies herself, Dee Dee Conn, aka Frenchie, Sandy's closest friend and aspiring beautician, who's going to reveal all the on-set secrets of Greece, how John Travolta tried to convert the cast to Scientology, and also find out about her close friendship with Olivia Newton-John and what she thinks about the disappearance of her boyfriend. Plus, Frenchie, or Dee Dee, will be taking on a special shuffle, delete, repeat, Is This Grease Life, and revealing the five Grease songs that mean the most to her. Stick around later too, because I'll have all of your comments about some of our previous guests, including last week's episode with Shawn Mendes. Plus, if you want to listen to any of our previous A-listers like Gary Barlow, James Corden, Meghan Trainor, then make sure you subscribe right now. But for the moment, let's go full on Greece with Dee Dee Conn. Dee Dee, I am so delighted to have you on the pod today to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Greece. Do you know, this is my favourite movie of all time. I also think Greece is the best movie ever made. And I think it's film snobs of this world who would tell you any different, because it's a joyful, enlightening experience. And do you know, I went and did my first ever sing-along movie the other week in London. And it was one of the most amazing nights of my life. And it just shows you, doesn't it? Four decades on, this is a movie that stands the test of time.
Oh, absolutely. It's a phenomenon. In fact, I host the Grease Sing-Along. I will be doing it in L.A. on June 30th. So if you're going to be there, please be my guest. I think that people really respond to the heart and soul of the movie, which is that we will always be together. We really all still love each other.
So, Dee Dee, take me back 40 years to the filming of Greece, because as you say, none of you knew that you were working on what was going to become one of the biggest movies of all time. What was it like on set? I mean, obviously the movie is so fun to watch. Did that translate behind the scenes with all of these young, beautiful people in great weather, wearing not many clothes? I mean, was it a bit like a party behind the scenes, or was it actually really hard work?
Oh, it was fun. You know, what's unusual about Greece is that I would say, I should know exactly, but I would say 2/3 of the cast had either been in the Broadway production of Greece or one of the national companies of Greece. So they brought a life to these characters that they knew from playing them, you know, hundreds of times. And Pat Birch, who was the choreographer, had choreographed the original. So there was an energy that was really kind of theatrical already, that for Olivia and myself and Dina Manoff, who played Marty, we hadn't done any production of Grease. But we caught that fever, and it was so much fun. And we had a continuous improvisation going. Well, as soon as we got into the makeup chair and the wigs went on, we no longer called each other, you know, Dee Dee Stockard. It was Frenchie and Rizzo. And we acted as if, you know, we were the pink ladies and the T-birds and the flirting and the fun. And it was great fun.
So you went back to high school, essentially, because you were actually 26 when you were filming the movie, weren't you?
That's right.
You had to regress 10 years.
We did. And it, by staying in character all day, that gave us the license to be as, you know, silly and goofy and horny and flirty and just have a wonderful, spontaneous kind of improv going all day long that had really terrific results, because there were some relationships that started and just like major flirting was going on, and of the trailers were rocking and rolling. but it was great.
I can imagine that, because there was a chemistry between that cast, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Who were the biggest flirts in terms of the male cast and the female cast?
Well, my darling Jeff Conaway, we loved him so much. You know, it's just hard to believe that he's not with us anymore.
I know.
He's, God bless him, he just oozed sexuality, and he was, you know, he was an ever ready bunny, you know. he had played Danny Zuko on Broadway, and he really, you know, knew that character, and he was just very, very sexy guy. And he and Patty Simcox had a lot of rehearsing. They had fun. They did. The chemistry between John and Olivia was real, very, very real.
Was there ever a romance between those two?
Oh, a romance? No. Just on set.
I mean, there was history being made during the filming of the movie as well, Didi. I mean, Elvis died on the day, or one of the days that you were filming Look at Me, I'm Sandra Dee. Mm-hmm. And is it true, this urban legend, that you actually added the line about his pelvis as a tribute to him as a result of his death?
I think so. I think that was Stockard's idea. Yeah.
And he was meant to be in the movie. So when he died and you were filming, obviously such an entertainment icon who was so troubled, did that play a part in the filming of that scene?
No, I don't think so. I must say that, we were staying in character all the time. So any news or anything like that wouldn't have really been discussed while we were filming, because we really kept this ongoing improv every day. And so we never read the newspaper or talked about other things that weren't, pertaining to our characters and what was happening. And we were, you know, constantly rehearsing things, rehearsing the dance numbers, what was coming next, having costume fittings. And so what was happening in the real world, really, we were protected from that.
Well, and I guess this was before the era of mobile phones or Twitter or anything like that.
Oh, absolutely.
The Five.
Each week, I ask my guests, right, about the five songs that are closest to their heart. So it could be a song that made them want to become a star, or one that reminds them of a lost family member. But of course, because we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Grease today, I had to get you to choose the five songs from the film that mean the most to you. So, what is your song one Grease choice, Dee Dee?
Beauty school dropout.
Beauty school dropout. Hanging around the corner store. Beauty school dropout.
Oh, it's gotta be my favorite.
Oh, it's your favorite. Well, listen, it was my favorite because of having my own set on Paramount Studios in my own soundstage for two whole days, where it was all about Frenchie and her fantasy and her guardian angel coming to tell her what to do. That's something I'll never forget.
So what song two, Dee Dee?
You're the One That I Want. Ooh, 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 ooh. Honey.
You're the one that I want.
Had such a great time transforming into that sexy hot mama, And of course, you know, Frenchie was the one that facilitated that transformation. So to see how she felt and then John's reaction as Danny, it was, you know, when he says, I've got chills, they're multiplying. It was really happening in the moment. And it was exciting to be a part of that.
Oh, my God, I can imagine. What is your song three from Grease?
Song three from Grease would be Hopelessly Devoted to You. I think Frenchie had such a close relationship with Sandy. She was very protective of her, and she was singing in Frenchie's backyard, you know, and seeing her love inside the pool, it was very romantic, and she did such a beautiful job.
Song four.
Summer Nights, baby.
Summer loving had me a blast.
We were out at Venice High School, and we were, having the best time. The boys were over in the on the bleachers doing their part, and we were at the luncheon where the outdoor cafeteria was. And it was just a lot of fun just to be on the location. We had been indoors rehearsing, so to be outside, it was really fun. And Pat Birch was the choreographer, was so she just was so much fun. She was allowing us to improvise and just do whatever, mine our characters for all they were worth, and that was so great.
What song completes your five?
A song that completes my five would be the Grease Is the Word. When that came on the first time, the whole cast saw the movie, that animation, we went berserko. We thought it was so imaginative and so much fun. Yeah, that's definitely my number five.
Well, it is an incredible song.
You're a fake and a phony, and I wish I'd never laid eyes on you.
Whoa. Whoa. I wonder if she carries silver bullets.
Yeah.
So the dance contest. Is it true that the filming took over a week and it was so hot that some people actually got sick during the dance moves?
Oh my gosh, it was hot. It was my birthday is July 13th and was that week. In fact, they gave me a cake and I saw the cake in the morning, and by the time we broke for lunch, it was all melted. And they had to, it was an old high school downtown Los Angeles. So it was authentic, you know, and so there was no air conditioning and they couldn't keep the windows open because right next door was a plant, a factory that, I don't know what they were doing, but it was a pork plant and it was stinky. So they had to keep the windows closed. It was awful. And it was hot. And yes, I did see people faint, but most of us were pretty resilient and just kept going.
And then there were some rumors of a little bit of tension on set over that great greased lightning moment. Because, of course, in the stage show, Dee Dee, it was actually a song sung by Kinnicky. Yeah. And so Jeff Conaway came into the movie believing this was going to be his song. And then John Travolta had the idea that Danny,
yes,
should perform Grease Lightning. And according to the director, that did cause some underlying tension, well, at least between the male cast members.
Well, they were very good friends. And if that was the case, there was, you know, Jeff had to, he had to give way to John, because it really was right in the movie that that John sang the song. So he might have come in expecting to do it, but it certainly was for the film. It was Danny's number.
And of course, that act, that song, that number had real repercussions, Dee Dee, on Jeff Conaway's life. Obviously, he ended up having a painkiller addiction. And there was always talk that it was actually prompted by the fact that he was dropped during the filming of Grease Lightning.
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that. No.
And did you stay close to him in his later years?
Well, we would see each other, you know, at different events, that kind of thing. That 20th anniversary, I think, was one of the last times that I saw him, actually. And he was in good form, in good shape. It's very possible. I'm sorry that I don't know the specifics. I don't remember there being a big accident or something happening. You know, we all were very resilient in those days. So it's very sad to have an addiction, and that it really ultimately made him very sick.
Such a tragedy, isn't it?
Yeah. And Cha-Cha, who Annette Cardona, Annette Charles in the movie, she was such a firebrand, such a talented, fabulous, brilliant woman, teacher, dancer. And she too succumbed to cancer, and it went very, very quickly.
I know. So tragic that the entire cast will not be able to be together again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's very sad. We miss them terribly. And then we have all the older ones, too, you know.
Yeah.
Joan Blondell and Eve Arden and Alice Ghostly and Sid Caesar and, my goodness, you know.
And all such a big part of the movie they were.
Yeah.
Now, Dee Dee, one of my favorite songs in Grease, and actually it is forever my karaoke song, is Beauty School Dropout, where obviously Frenchie is serenaded by Frankie Avalon, who at the time was a real teen idol, wasn't he? Now, is it true that he came close to pulling out of doing the movie because he was so worried about walking down the steps?
Oh, yes, he was worried, and he didn't get to rehearse, and it was, but he did a great job. I mean, from my point of view, he didn't rehearse, so I didn't get to, you know, kind of take him in and feel the feelings until he was actually doing it, all dressed up in that sexy white pants and top, and he's coming down those stairs, and it was delicious. It was great. So, I mean, I got to be on camera the first time he came down the steps, so they were filming from, you know, my point of view. I mean, on me, close up on me as he came down, just in case he had a little trouble coming down.
And, of course, he's still going strong, Frankie Avalon, isn't he?
Yeah, do you know, he told me that he had so many hits. I mean, you know, he was a big, big star. And he still plays Vegas, and he's still so popular. But the most requested song is Beauty School Dropout of all his hits.
That doesn't surprise me.
Oh, and I'll tell you another thing. The first song that was written for Grease was Beauty School Dropout.
Really?
Did you know that? Yeah.
So Frenchie is so central to it.
Yeah, Jim Jacobs, they were together watching the news one night, and there was a story about some guy who, I don't know what, he was murdered somebody, and they were talking about that he was going to go to jail, and he never finished high school because he had dropped out of high school to go to beauty school. And now they said, dropped out of high school, go to beauty school dropout. And they made up a song.
There's something in that. Well, thank goodness they did, because look at what it spawned.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've caught up, Dee Dee, with some of the recent criticism of Greece. Now, this is something that has come from, we call them over here, you know, the snowflake generation, millennials, who have taken offence to some of the lyrics and some of the songs in Greece. So, for example, in Summer Nights, the line, "Did she put up a fight?" Or also the scene when two of the cast members or two of the characters lie on the school bleachers and look up the girls' skirts. Now, obviously, yeah, this is something that when the movie was being made in the late 70s was part of the culture, and especially seeing it was reflecting American culture in the 50s. So what do you make of people criticizing Greece now as a result of those lyrics?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, look, when you are looking at the world with the hashtag Me Too movement, you know, yeah, you want to look at the places where women were not respected or were belittled in some way or made fun of in some way or you know, and so you'll look for those things. You could see those things in Greece. You know, nowadays, with the mini, mini, mini skirts, I mean, you see the underwear. You don't have to go and look up from a bleacher, you know. So, but I can understand that people would find, could look into things and find that it's might be demeaning in a way. But there's also all these double entendre that I think is what keeps Greece regenerating with new interest all the time. Because when you're young, you don't really know what it means when Rizzo says, "How are things down under?" You know, something like that.
Or absolutely.
What the saran wrap is used for in Grease Lightning, you know.
Well, so then, do you know, I actually learned what a condom was through watching Grease.
Oh, see?
I got my sex education through Grease as a seven-year-old. Mom, what's a condom?
Well, what do you think of this criticism?
I think it's really unfair, to be honest, and I think everyone's got a little bit too sensitive about it. But I absolutely hear what you're saying about the Me Too movement. But remember, mm-hmm, this is something that was made for the culture of the time, you know,
that's
and you
right,
can't rewrite history.
Well, that's right. No, this is definitely of that time. And what was kind of genius of Alan Carr in his choice of using these 50s icons in the movie, you know, like Joan Blondell and Sid Caesar and Frankie Avalon. And, you know, this was bringing those people into a movie that was made in the 70s, but to give that the 50s era feeling for the people who grew up in that generation. So yes, no, it definitely is a movie of an era.
And Alan Carr was, of course, the producer of Grease, wasn't he? And
right,
he died in 1999, is that right?
Yes. He was great. He was a party guy, and he got the rights for $200,000.
And who owns them now, Dee Dee? Do you know? Who owns Grease?
Well, Jim Jacobs, the original author, and the Warren Casey Foundation. Warren Casey passed away quite a while ago. Yeah, they have it's their baby.
And did Grease make you rich, and did it make the other cast members rich, or were you just paid one flat fee and you were sent on your way?
That's it. Believe me, if I had known this was going to be such a big hit, I would have negotiated for points, you know, but no, one flat fee and that was it.
Is that the same for John and Olivia? They didn't get any cut of the movie's product?
No, they had different agents that kind of looked into the future.
Shuffle, delete, repeat.
Dee Dee, the next regular feature is Shuffle, Delete, Repeat. And this is when I'm going to give you three songs from Grease in different categories, and you have to choose which one you would repeat, which means you really love it, which you would delete, which means maybe you don't love it so much, and which one you'd put on shuffle, so as in you'd come back to it again.
Okay, sure.
And we're
going to
kick off with Grease Ballads. And your options for this are It's Raining on Prom Night.
It's raining on prom night, my head.
There Are Worse Things I Could Do.
I could stay home every night.
wait around for Mr. Ryan.
And Sandy.
Sandy, can't you see I'm in misery?
Which would you shuffle, which would you delete, and which would you repeat?
It's raining on prom night. Yeah, I guess I would delete it. I think it was pretty much deleted from the movie. I think it was in the background.
So is there one of those you would repeat out of There Are Worse Things I Could Do or Sandy?
Sandy I would repeat. That was written specifically for the movie. That wasn't in the Broadway show. Louis St. Louis wrote that. Overnight he wrote that. And I think that's worth repeating. Yeah.
Definitely. Then we've got classic Grease. So those three options, three of the big hits are Grease. You're the One That I Want. And We Go Together. Which would you shuffle, which would you delete, and which would you repeat?
Can I just ever repeat all three?
You're not allowed in the rules, but I understand why you want to, because they're all incredible songs.
Wait, it was Grease, You're the One That I Want, and what was the third one?
And We Go Together, that great moment from the end of the movie.
Jeez, okay, I guess I can't delete any of them.
What's your favorite? Which one would you repeat first? We can do it by a process of elimination. Okay, great. So then, out of You're the One That I Want and Grease, which one would you most like to put on shuffle?
Grease.
Which means, sadly, You're the One That I Want. In this case, it's deleted.
Oh, my
goodness.
But
just for this moment.
It was the top five.
Exactly. And then our final category, Didi, is T-Birds versus Pink Ladies. And the three songs are Summer Nights. Greased Lightning. And Look At Me, I'm Sandra Dee.
Look at me, I'm Sandra Dee. Lousy with virginity. Won't go to bed till I'm legally
with. Oh, boy. It's hard. I like all of them.
So hard, I know. I'm cruel.
Oh, my gosh. Gee, I can't, I don't know. I guess Summer Nights I would put on shuffle. Grease Lightning, I guess I would delete, but I really wouldn't.
And repeat
and,
Look At
and
Me.
And what was the other one?
Look At Me, I'm Sandra Dee, which you've got to repeat because that's that great moment in Frenchie's bedroom.
Yes. Well, that one I would definitely repeat. Because, we're going to recreate Frenchie's bedroom in London.
I know. I am so excited about this. So tell me all about it. This is a partnership that you're doing with Now TV to celebrate the 40th anniversary.
That's right. And it's going to be really, really fun.
And so it's the actual bedroom is going to be recreated.
Yes, that's right. You can go on the website and I'm going to be there the 10th and the 11th of May. But it's a pop-up event, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, so they're going to come and be with me in Frenchie's bedroom.
Amazing. And you can also stream Grease now on Now TV with a Sky Cinema Pass, which is obviously highly recommended.
Yes, I know. I've never heard of a system that you can do like that. You can just plug and go.
Well, I think it is where things are going because all of the youngsters, Dee Dee, don't want to be tied down to big subscriptions these days.
Exactly.
Brush up, brush up, brush up. Get the new Ipana with the brand new flavor. It's dandy for your teeth. Brush up, brush up, brush up. New Ipana toothpaste. Brush up, brush up, brush up. Knocks out DK germs fast. Fast. Fast, you're sure all right.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, you remain close, I believe, to Olivia Newton-John. You joined her on stage to launch her Vegas residency a couple of years ago, and you
that
performed
was
a
great,
song together.
Great time.
Is she the cast member who you have maintained the closest bond with post-filming?
I would say yes. She and Barry Pearl, who played Duty, and Jamie Donnelly, I think we've stayed the closest, yeah.
And how is she doing now, Olivia?
Great. Great. Her group is superb. Olivia Newton-John walks the walk. She has gone through so much and is so grateful that she has persevered, and she is a thriver. That's what she calls herself, a thriver. That when she sings "I Honestly Love You" to the audience, which she does for her most of the time, I think, for her encore, she really means it. She wants to give back. She's received so much love and so much care, and she gives it back with a rich, beautiful heart, and I adore her.
As you say, such incredibly sweet person who's had to go through so much, Dee Dee, because, of course, she's battled numerous forms of cancer and breast cancer and come back every single time fighting and stronger, which is an amazing credit to her. And then she had to go through the disappearance of her long-term boyfriend, Patrick McDermott, which must have been devastating for her. Did you know him at all?
Yes, I had met him, lovely guy, handsome guy, loved her, was really in love with her. Yeah, life is interesting, isn't it? Huh?
It's really. Well, it is, because and what
then,
do you make of?
I mean,
of,
you don't never know, never no. know. But she had in her heart that she wanted to create this cancer and wellness center, which is now a beautiful happening thing in Melbourne. It's called the Living Newton-John Cancer and Wellness Center. She raised over $50 million.
Yeah,
and
I
joined her on the Great
work.
Wall of China. She was doing a 3-week trek where people were sponsoring.
I remember that.
Her
yeah.
and her friends, and I went for 8 days, and it was fantastic. She's got the greatest friends, and we just had a wonderful, wonderful time.
I love that Frenchie and Sandy have maintained that bond, because as a fan of the movie, that's what you want. And of course, I mentioned Patrick McDermott then, and of course, there were reports recently, Dee Dee, that he may have been found alive and well in Mexico. What did you make of those stories?
You know that I never brought it up to Olivia. I really never did. You know, that's such a private, personal thing. And I think, you know, that's what happens in relationships. Certain things you just keep to yourself. And so I don't know. I have no idea. I heard the same things, but I don't know.
What's your relationship like with John Travolta now?
Well, a couple of years ago, they released a Christmas album. And for Sirius Radio, I did an hour interview with the two of them while they also played the songs. And it was so much fun. I hadn't seen John in a while. And it was great having the two of them together and reminiscing. And he's fabulous. He looks terrific. Got a Christmas card. So I see his beautiful young son and his daughter and his wife. And he's. I'm looking forward. I think I'm going to see him in August in LA.
Oh, amazing. And of course, there was a report recently, again, this is something that came out about behind the scenes of Grease, that at the time, Randall Gleisner, the director, had come down with a foot infection, right, when he was shooting that, you know, the iconic Thunder Road car race across that river in LA back then. And according to these new reports, John Travolta actually used a Scientology procedure to try and make him better. And that really fascinated me because I had no idea, Dee Dee, that his relationship and partaking in Scientology actually went back that far.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He was a Scientologist then. Yes, I remember.
And were you aware of it on
because
set?
I remember talking to him about it, and he said, told me to, why don't I read Dianetics and then we'll talk about it. Yeah, it did go back that far. And I remember that happening. I didn't observe him doing it, but I remember hearing about it. But I'll tell you something else. When we were filming the movie, he received a copy of Saturday Night Fever. It hadn't come out yet. Yeah. And he had not seen it, and he was a little concerned. He said, you know, to the cast, you know, I did this movie, and it was in Brooklyn, and I don't know, you know, it was dancing. I'm really worried about it. Would you mind all coming? If I set up a screening, would you come and see it? So we went to a screening room in Paramount after work. And we see this amazing, unbelievable, sexy, fantastic Saturday Night Fever. And, you know, John, are you kidding me? This is unbelievable. You're incredible. So he had no idea how good it was. And that was kind of says something about, you know, his humility.
Well, to have those two movies come out in 1 year, wow, mind-blowing. But, I mean, it is interesting, the Scientology thing, because, I mean, obviously it's such a big thing in Hollywood now. Did he have any success, do you think, behind the scenes on the set? Was anyone converted to it? And, I mean, did you ever try it out?
Oh, no. No, as far as I know, there was nothing like that going. We really stayed in character, and Danny Zuko, I don't think, was a Scientologist.
But it's interesting, isn't it, when you think back 4 decades ago when Grease was first released, the critics slammed it, Dee Dee. They called it atrocious. They called it visual junk food. And they even said, some of them, well, one of them, that Olivia Newton-John was a tone-deaf cow. However, it was one of those movies that became an instant hit. It only cost £4.2 million to make, and they made that money back in just 2 days. And I think it's another great example of the fact that actually you don't necessarily need to spend tens of millions of pounds like they do on most movies these days to create something really special.
Oh, no. Well, you know, the thing was, nobody knew that it was going to be the hit that it was. In fact, if you remember in the carnival scene when the boys are throwing pies at their coach at St. Caesar, and he says, oh, I'll see you guys in summer school, that was supposed to be the title of a sequel. And everybody had agreed that they wanted to do it. Paramount passed on it. They said, oh, this movie isn't going to do anything. I'm glad you guys are having a good time, but, you know, no. So then when it was a big hit, I guess John and Olivia weren't available anymore, and it became Grease 2, which Pat Birch directed and choreographed, and a beautiful Michelle Pfeiffer was discovered. And, you know, you can't compare the two movies. I think there are two different camps, but I thought that was a really fun movie, too. I was proud to be a part of it.
Well, of course, you are the only member of the core cast, Dee Dee, that has appeared in all three major productions of Grease, because also Grease Live, which was on recently on US television. But on that point of Grease 2, I mean, it was considered a flop at the time. Why do you not think that it worked in the same way as the original movie?
I think it's just that if people compare the two, you know, I think they get disappointed because it didn't feel like it was connecting to the original because they were all new people. And the only reason I was in it because I had been left back because of going to beauty school. So, you know, I think that's the problem, that they were looking to identify with the characters or see where they were going to be headed after high school, and it was just going back to Rydell again. So it was a disappointment in that. But if you just take the movie for what it is, it's terrific. The dance numbers are sensational. The talent is amazing. So I think that's why there's a great, great big fan base for Grease 2.
Is this your life?
Now, Dee Dee, this is this Grease life? And you've got to tell me if these facts are true or false. We're going to kick off. Happy Days, Henry Winkler turned down John Travolta's iconic role of Danny Zuko.
True.
Last year, he revealed to ARP magazine that he turned it down because he didn't want to be typecast. Elvis Presley was initially offered the role of Teen Angel.
True.
That's right. The role was ultimately given to Frankie Avalon, though, and Presley died while Grease was being filmed in 1977. Now, next up, instead of using makeup, Jeff Conaway, who played Kaneki, of course, insisted on really giving Stockard Channing Rizzo real hickeys.
It's true.
Yes, apparently he did give her real hickeys because a hickey from Kaneki is, of course, like,
a Hallmark card. When you care to give the very best.
Absolutely. Now, the costume designer painted jeans onto Olivia Newton-John.
False.
Correct. They didn't paint the jeans on, but they did actually have to sew her into them because they were so tight.
True.
Next, Jeff Conaway had a big crush on Olivia Newton-John and ended up marrying her.
Oh, no, that's false.
That's right. He did have a big crush, but he actually ended up marrying her sister, Rona.
Her sister, Rona.
Right. Believe it or not, how amazing. The next one really shocked me. The word Grease is never said in the film.
Oh, well, they say Grease to Grease Lightning.
Correct. That is true. So Grease is never said, but the word greased is.
Yes.
And finally, Dee Dee, the original name for the T-Birds was actually the Burger Palace Boys.
Uh-oh. I don't know. Maybe true.
That's true. In the stage version of Grease, the boys were actually called Burger Palace Boys. But thank goodness they changed it, Dee Dee, because it just wouldn't have been the same without the T-Birds in that movie, would it?
No.
Game rule one. All couples must be boy, girl.
Yeah, too bad, Eugene.
All right, come on. Game rule two. During the dance contest, if you're tapped on the shoulder, you must leave the floor immediately or else. Amina.
And rule three. Anyone doing tasteless or vulgar movements will be disqualified.
Now, there was always hope amongst diehard fans like myself that at some point there might be a Grease 3. But what the discussion in the industry was is that it was John Travolta who had initially convinced Olivia Newton-John not to do it. And then Stockard Channing pulled out as well. And as a result, it meant there just weren't enough of the core cast members. But I know there have been scripts and potential attempts to make Grease 3 right up until the last few years. Do you ever think that it could happen, Dee Dee? And what's the latest?
No, it's not going to happen. But 20 years ago, when we had our 20th anniversary, I did a fundraiser by writing a book. My son is autistic, and he was going to a therapeutic nursery, and I did a book called Frenchie's Grease Scrapbook, and everybody gave me photos. It was so generous about telling me their audition stories and what their memories were. And then I had a chapter on what do you think your character would be doing 20 years later? And I got such fantastic ideas from the cast that I went to Alan Carr and I put it all together. And he said, this is great. This is terrific. We should do, you know, a sequel. And let's do it as a movie for television. And I had the idea that we could get everybody to say yes if everybody worked for what they call favorite nations, so that whatever the budget was for salary, we'd all get paid just scale, and the rest would go to several charities of our choice. That way, the Grease cast would be doing something great, you know, something giving back. And I got everyone to agree. And I had my meetings up with I can't even remember. I think it was NBC or ABC at that time. So but anyway, they were going ahead, but they didn't want to stay with the stories that were coming from the cast members. They wanted to start from the beginning. And nothing was as, shall we say, connected to these characters. And when I told John and Olivia, they just said, no. And I knew they wouldn't go for it because it just wasn't greasy, you know. So then we had the 20th anniversary where they gave out the new brand new DVDs. And there was a big party at Paramount. And we had a line to get of press for the Grease cast members over an hour just to get on the red carpet to get into the screening of Grease and the party. And Sherry Lansing, who was the president of, who was the head of Paramount at the time, said to me, "What is this? I don't have first run movies with this kind of attention. What is it with Grease?" Like they had no idea. So I told her about, you know, that we wanted to do a movie. And the next day I was up in their office at the executives of Paramount, and they called John and they called Olivia. And sure enough, you know, we started on doing a feature, but it took a long time. And by the, it was over 6 months, again, hiring really terrific A-film screenwriters, but nobody wanted to take our ideas. They wanted to do their own. And unfortunately, as time went by, you're right, John felt, no, let's not do it. This isn't... Let's let everybody just savor the moment of what we created, and that's that.
So there was a window of opportunity, and Hollywood bureaucracy got in the way, essentially.
Well, it was about, I think they just didn't get that we knew, and I might say for myself, I mean, I was the executive producer, that I had really understood where the story should go and what would be fun for John and Olivia and what would be fun for, you know, here we would be 20, 25 years later. Well, we want to know about our kids. We want to know where, you know, who these goofy teenagers are. So there was a whole, we had a really great story. Frenchie was a dog groomer. And I mean, I won't go into it. It was just a lot of fun. But
do. So what would have happened to Sandy and Danny? Were they together in your vision?
Oh, yes, they were together.
Gosh, I would have loved for this to be made. Don't you think you could go to a Netflix or someone like that now and they'd bite your hand off?
No, it's too late now. No, I don't think so. Now that we'd be grandparents, you know, so it's another generation removed. When I went to L.A. to be in that Fox Live version, you know, you mentioned it earlier.
Yes.
Tom Cale, the director of the Grease Live, he's also the director of Hamilton, which is, you know, this mega success.
Incredible, yeah.
All over the world now. He asked me if I would come a week earlier than he needed so I could watch rehearsals and if I had any comments or whatever. And it was a fabulous cast, and it was really thrilling to watch them. And then I started to watch them do some of the scene work. And he asked me what was my one comment, and I said, "These guys aren't horny enough." they just, because, you know, think about it. 1970s, when we did it, you know, people were free, loose, whatever, but they're still, you know, they were playing the 50s, so there was so much flirting, and there was a lot of, you know, that kind of fun hooking up. But there wasn't even the word hooking up, you know. Hooking up didn't mean that. So now these people, they didn't really get that. These guys weren't getting it, you know.
No, because there was something about those Grease men that just oozed sex from every pore.
Yeah, because they were, all the hormones were bouncing off of them, and the girls too, but they weren't coupling up. They were just feeling all of that. So Tom told the cast, and they laughed, and the next day it was really juicy.
Well, look, you are an absolute joy. Do you know what's so amazing? Hearing your voice, it's identical. You know, it just takes me right back to that movie, even though you recorded it, you made that film when you were 26 years old, now 66 years old, New Yorker through and through, but it's just an iconic part. And I love that you, out of all of the cast, are the one who has really embraced the Grease legacy, because as I say, as a lifelong fan, that means a lot.
Oh, thank you, dear. Thanks, Dan. Well, a wop ba bloom up.
A wop bam boom.
Boom, yeah.
I've finally got to duet with Frenchie. My life is complete. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Great. Well,
can't
I hope
wait
I meet
to have you.
You
in the UK. Absolutely. Yes. Well, I'm going to have to come to Frenchie's bedroom, aren't I, with Now TV?
Yes, I hope so. And on the 10th and the 11th in London, it's going to be, I think it's in the Soho area, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'll have to play Jan.
Okay.
With the brusher. Dee Dee, you're an absolute icon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Oh my goodness, I just couldn't get over that, because Dee Dee, of course this sounds so obvious, but sounded just exactly like Frenchie 40 years ago. And if, like me, Grease meant a lot to you as a movie growing up, there were just so many nuggets of pure joy in there and fascination. So interesting, isn't it? They just thought they were having a laugh and going back to high school for a few weeks filming this movie. Little did they know it would become one of the most iconic and popular of all time. The fact that it's back in cinemas 40 years on just says something about the lasting legacy of that movie. And I just think it's because it's so happy. It's so upbeat. There's no real edge to it. And Dee Dee, as I said, the cast member, I guess, most connected to the Grease franchise. Absolutely adored her. Of course, though, last week on the show, we had Shawn Mendes. If you want to listen to that interview now, he's obviously one of the biggest superstars in the world. You just need to subscribe to the Dan Wooten interview wherever you listen to podcasts. Could be iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Downcast or any other app. And we spoke to Shawn, actually, about his anxiety battle. And he opened up for the first time about how he'd been going through therapy to cope with it. Of course, that story got picked up all around the world. And we've had a huge amount of feedback, actually. We've got a tweet here from Shawn Mendes Updates, who said, "It makes me so unbelievably happy to see that he's comfortable sharing this with us. Anxiety, stress and depression are very common. And hearing what he has to say, knowing he's experienced it and what advice he has to give to push through is just incredible." Absolutely, I agree with that. Another fan account, Do It The Mendes Way, he said, "Anxiety is one of the most terrible things anyone could ever experience. I don't wish anything like anxiety upon anyone. I suffer from it myself. Thanks for making a song I could totally relate to, Shawn." That's, of course, because his new single really opens up about his battle with anxiety. On that note, Tiffany, watching the video of the podcast that we put on my Facebook page, said, "Wow, this video actually helped me. I think I'm going to start talking to people about how I feel and letting people help me. Thank you, Shawn." What an incredible response that is. Another one on that note, Anuva Trainer White, who wrote to me to say, "I really do love how open everyone has been about their mental health this year." And it's so true. Ashley Lyons on that note says, "Love listening to this interview. It's nice to see a celebrity talking about going through the same thing as me." And it is fascinating, although I was, as I said on the podcast last week, I'm not surprised, because Shawn has had to go from being a relatively normal young teenage lad with a big talent to all of a sudden one of the hugest superstars in the world. And of course, that plays a lot on your mind and affects how you live day-to-day life. But the point is, so many people dealing with anxiety and depression and mental health now and being prepared to talk about it. Because, of course, earlier in the year, Meghan Trainor on this podcast opened up in exactly the same way. So if you liked what Sean had to say, then I really recommend you listen to Meghan's episode from earlier this year as well, because she had some very practical advice about how she dealt with her own depression and anxiety issues. Of course, all of those previous episodes there to listen in our back catalogue. You just need to go through, look at all those big names. We've got James Corden too, or if you go back to last year, people like Ed Sheeran and Sam Smith and Celine Dion. So lots of brilliant, brilliant interviews you can listen to. If you subscribe to the Dan Wooden Interview, you'll also get our next episode free as soon as it becomes available. So do join us again next week for another episode of the Dan Wooden Interview.
Attention, seniors. Before the merriment of commencement commences, I hope that your years with us here at Rydell High have prepared you for the challenges you face. Who knows, among you there may be a future Eleanor Roosevelt or a Rosemary Clooney. And among you young men there may be a Joe DiMaggio, a President Eisenhower, or even a Vice President Nixon. But always you will have the glorious memories of Rydell High. Rydell forever. Bon voyage.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.